We rent everything. We don't own any of it. The average person goes through their lives never having owned shit except for like a TV that's worth half price the second it gets home. They die not even owning their houses. That shit doesn't have a leader. That shit is a system. It's a cancer that runs by itself. It is literal. We are a giant organism. Nothing works without trade. Poverty is the state of existence. That is the normal state of existence, is absolute poverty. Prosperity happens because you have good money and you have a community that trades. What is up, guys? Welcome back to Bitcoin Audible, the best in Bitcoin made audible. I am your host, Guy Swan, the guy who has read more about Bitcoin than anyone else you know. We have got a chat today. I wasn't even sure if I was going to publish this one, and I want to go ahead and give you a warning. I searched through the transcript for the F word and came up with 87 results. So I just want to give you a heads up. If you hear bleeps, then I want you to know that's because I have been using Devs Who Can't Code, partner of my AI Unchained series and podcast, trying to figure out how to use AI to auto-censor. If you do not hear a bleep, it means that I didn't finish it, and I had to publish. So, that is just a warning. If you listen to this with kids or at work or something, this is not going to be the episode for that. Because Walker and I, we just did an impromptu zap.stream on Noster one day when we were really frustrated with the government response and behavior around the recovery efforts in West North Carolina. So we just got up on a rant about how the government sucks. That's a really, really, that's a tall order. Okay, guys, you got to give me this one. You got to give me this one. All right, with that, we will get into today's conversation with Walker from the Bitcoin Podcast, and a good friend and a really awesome guy. Got to hang out with him for a minute. And this is all about how government is a cancer.
Sometimes you just need to rant. This feels like one of those times. And I don't know, like, you know, there's just like occasionally an article or like in this, it was this Mayorkas one on AP that just did it for me today. But you know how there's something that'll just like, it shouldn't set you off, but it just kind of does. And it's just like that, like after a bunch, like Carl and I were just like dealing with some insurance bullshit today too. And just like ranting to each other about just how that all is, and now we're going to just go and pretend we don't have insurance and get something done for like a fraction of the cost.
I've been on that boat for a decade.
Dude, I can't believe
I bought disaster insurance. Like I bought the lowest before Obamacare really kind of just screwed, like just took that as not an option anymore. Like all of those plans disappeared, but I had like $80 or something. Like, it was like a $20,000 deductible or whatever. And I had kind of enough Bitcoin at that time where I was like, okay, if a disaster strikes, I guess I'll make it, you know, I'll be fine. And that's what I did. And I just lied. I don't have insurance. I don't have insurance. And they give me like a $280 bill at like the doctor for something simple. And I'd be like, I don't have insurance. And be like, oh, again, type, $70.
Dude, it's nuts. Like it's f***ing insane. They were about to charge like $1,500 or something for this, and then it's like, we just went to a different place and we're like, there's no insurance that we have, and it's like, you know, a few $100. And it's like, what the f*** is this f***ing racket? So it was that, and then it was seeing this f***ing article about how FEMA is literally somehow doesn't have enough money to take care of our own citizens that are literally out there dying right now. And I was looking up right before this. I was like, okay, what's the yearly budget of FEMA? And it looks like in 2023, the annual budget was $29.5 billion. And you're like, okay, that sounds like a big number, but like in this fiat clown world, it isn't. Because then you look and it's like, okay, how much money has the U.S. sent to Ukraine? And it's like, oh, $175 billion has been approved for Ukraine.
How many people does FEMA have? And how many disasters have they had to deal with this year? I watched a video just a little while ago of a guy who's been on the ground in, I think, mostly the areas around Asheville. And I think he said something about, like, kind of crossing over into Tennessee a little bit, which I don't know how he's even navigating through all that because there's so many roads. Just so many roads just gone. And he said he pulled, like, they have a whole bunch of people that they have pulled out of different areas, and they were trying to get him set up at a hotel, and he went to the hotel, and they turned him away, and they said, we are full of FEMA federal employees. And he's like, you don't have any room because there are federal employees here? He says, not a soul that I know who is here helping. I've been sleeping in my truck for 5 days. Why are you in a hotel? And it's the perfect example of the difference between people who actually give a shit and people who have a job in a bureaucracy, that they're not there because they care. They're there because this is their racket. They're there because this is how they make money, by looking like they're involved. And they want to monopolize everything. They're turning all of the churches who are trying to donate stuff, apparently they're turning people away. And it's always under the pretense of, like, well, the roads are dangerous and we don't want to have to save you too.
It's like, right.
Yeah, but you just want to control the situation. You just want to control the situation. If you all went away, what would be the net benefit? More people would get stuff and there would be more people helping. They've told them that they can't do drones. There was a dude who said, like, I have, like, literally the top of the line thermal drone. Like, I could see people buried who are alive with my drone. And they refused. They told him that he could not send up his drone and that it was illegal for him to do so. And I was talking with the, only just started. I had no idea that the Bitcoin veterans, they've raised like $13,000 in Bitcoin, which is,
that's awesome.
Oh my God, it's awesome. And I can't even believe it. Like, HODL didn't even know that I was doing like a little bit of a donation on Nostr, which randomly turned into a shit ton yesterday. Shout out to, oh my God, did you see that?
I saw that. I didn't know you were raising either.
And Bitcoin?
I saw somebody dropped a freaking whole coin there, which is just like,
just, dude, nuts,
that's what
man.
That's what I love about Bitcoin. Yeah. It's like, I actually want to do something. I'm going to put my money where my mouth is and actually do something that's going to make a difference. Like,
yeah. Yeah. And, but so that like turned into a lot. And now I'm like, it's funny. Like, I went from being like super excited to like a little bit panicked. I was like, okay, this one is definitely behind the multi-sig. Okay. Yeah. you know, and, you know, now I feel like I have to be like doubly careful about where it goes, because, you know, it's like one thing to have $2,000, have $500 of it not be the best way to spend $500. A whole nother thing to have $64,000 not go to the right place, you know?
Yeah.
And that's what I can't tell. Like, you know, like there's some direct relief efforts from the county. And my best friend lives there, and he works with Henderson Search and Rescue. So I at least do, like, I know that they will do, like, I know that he's going to be, like, he wouldn't even be part of the organization if he felt they were wasting time. I mean, they're volunteers. But at the same time, you know, and he pointed me to Henderson County Direct Relief. But I also just don't, I mean, I just distrust government so much. I don't know, where. I'm so afraid that stuff's just going to get stuck in some bureaucratic hole. Like, there's just going to be some black hole that just sucks up funds. And I have seen counties, I have seen county governments waste hundreds of thousands of dollars. Just, like, make it disappear. And not even counting, I mean, don't even start talking about a federal or state government. So it's so hard to know where to go. Luckily, Samaritan's Purse seems to be, like, really, really serious, and I've heard nothing but good things from a lot of people. And then the Bitcoin Veterans guys, which I missed the the Twitter spaces they did this morning trying to break down their plan. So I'm trying to catch up with them. But literally, I started the conversation with them last night, and they are literally
nice.
Bitcoin veterans. Veterans who hate the state are the best people in the world because they're like super awesome. Regimented and like organized. And they're like, I'm getting this equipment. This guy's got a freaking helicopter. This, you know, and they're like getting like a team together. Our base of operations is out of Samaritan's Purse on this street and this church. And and they're like, we're going to go until the authorities stop us. And then we're going to figure out how to get around the authorities. And yeah. It's hilarious. Man.
Did, you know, your point about...
Shout out to Shane Hazel, by the way.
Yeah, Shane
Average
Hazel.
Average Gary. There are a couple other people. I'm forgetting names right now.
It's an incredible crew, guys. And again, like, individual citizens doing whatever they can because they feel that they must, because they have the ability to. And, like, they will always... Individual citizens voluntarily organizing are always going to be more effective and efficient at actually getting aid where it is needed.
Yeah.
I was reading this post on X. I'll throw it up on the screen just so folks can see it. I was reading this,
do I have this
yesterday.
Screen? I need to see this. Hold on a second.
Yeah. You should be able to see. Can you see this?
I'll just find your shit on Master. Hold on a second.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I'm not in the, oh, here we go. Yeah. Yeah.
There you go. So basically, this guy, Ryan Tier, is going down this list of, like, if you're wondering why citizens are being turned away, coming to help in North Carolina and Tennessee, want to hear my experience as a private citizen doing this for almost a decade. And basically, he was talking about, okay, he was able to, like, get in and out of Asheville, da-da-da. Like, can't confirm the reasons, but basically, so it's a longer post here. But he talks about his experience in the Florida Keys and trying to get relief down there, and basically that they were told by the federal boots on the ground, like, no, we're not going to allow you to do this. Like, we're not, you know, they came in, they're like, hey, we've got shitloads of food and water and supplies, and we've got, you know, we've got trucks, we've got boats, like, we got jet skis, we'll just bring it all in. And they're like, no, you can't do that. So they just said, fuck it, we're going to do it anyway. They drove like 87.
That's okay, the only 80, way to go. That's, yeah, the only, that's the only way to do this. You just
87
say,
miles
them.
By water to their first stop. And then they, you know, they're talking to one of the homeowners there. He's just like, he's stoked that they're there, obviously, because they haven't had any supplies brought in by FEMA. And he said, so
it's because,
during that,
it's because they want to monopolize it. And if they get to take credit for everything that happened and they look like the only ones that can be used as a source, yeah, if they just block everybody else, then they're the only ones that get the money. It's a scam.
This is what he gets to. So the TLDR is, FEMA's got a command center set up. They're not letting anyone bring in other donations. They won't even accept your donations. Why? Because the people donating are not on the preferred vendors list from the government. The preferred vendors list, does that matter? So what it actually comes down to...
It's just like war. It's just war. It's just, it's a profiting off suffering. Yes.
It's all about the money. Like, preferred vendors are getting a big part. So any of the government funding that goes to the disaster relief efforts, most of it gets shoveled
fucking
out to these big
subsidy
vendors. Yep. And then Walmart or whoever gets to write it off as like a donation, even though it's like being paid for at whatever price they set. And like, so this just like pissed me off, because I'm like, you are actively preventing fellow citizens from going and giving aid. And they've, it's literally like, and not only going and doing it themselves, but they won't even accept the donations. They won't even say, oh yeah, okay, we won't let you go into this area, but please give us these donations and we'll make sure they get there. Like, no. They won't even take them because you're not a preferred vendor, you little pleb who dares to try and help your fellow man. Like, this just pisses me off so much, because it is just such a blatant example of corrupt bureaucracies, corporatocracies, failing to deliver anything meaningful for the citizens of the country who actually pay the taxes and who are right now suffering and dying because we've got a bloated, disorganized government who doesn't to actually help them.
There is no way they could give a shit about it, because like the first 3 days are the absolutely most critical time.
Yep.
And that's where they're doing the most damage. That's where they're stopping everybody from actually doing anything. Like, the number, if nobody from the federal government, it's funny, like, the I It's one thing to be mad about the fact that you're giving them, that they're taxing you. Like, they're literally taxing you both of your legs and then one of your nuts at the same time to provide you with a service that is completely non-existent. To the contrary, they're literally done more damage than Hurricane Helene across this country every year anyway. But then on top of that is that when you actually have people that, after having their freaking legs taxed off, that they're still literally rolling a wheelchair across the state to drop off some goddamn bottles of water that they get stopped by the government. I just, oh my God, oh my God, it's unbelievable. Like, I just don't understand. I don't understand how we put up with this. Like, get the go the away. Like, just leave us alone. We will fix it. North Carolina cares 1,000 times more than you do. You don't give a shit. You're in a fucking hotel. You're in a fucking hotel. You don't care. Leave. God damn it.
It is just like, it is, I think it's during these times that it becomes so incredibly crystal clear just how perverse the incentives are within a giant bureaucratic state. Like, you realize, and I think I hope, you know, if anything good is to come out of all this death and destruction and people being left, literally left to die by the government while they fund foreign fucking wars that we never agreed to enter, the only good thing that could come out of this is maybe it wakes a few more people up.
Yeah.
Maybe it wakes just a couple more people up who say, this is insane. You're just like preaching to me about all of these things that I don't care about. You're preaching to me about all this, like, whatever it might be, insert party line talking point that you're supposed to really care about if you're a good citizen and care about democracy and all of this. And meanwhile, you're just
the fuck is democracy.
Like letting people die. Because first of all, you can't do your job. Like, your only job, which is to do right by your citizens, because they pay. The only reason that you exist as a bloated bureaucratic state is because people pay your salaries, you parasitic leech. But you can't even do that. But you decide to go one step further and actually be destructive, because being destructive means you are going to block actual productive humans who are taking times away from their jobs and their families and risking their own life and putting up their own money to go and try to deliver help, and you're blocking them too. It's like you are in both directions. It's just insane that this happens. And like, I don't know, like, you start to just feel like, man, let this system just burn down and crumble, because whatever comes from the ashes is got to be better than this.
Yeah.
Because this isn't working for anyone except a few leeches that suck the blood out of everyone else. It should make you livid. It should make you angry. It should make you disgusted that we have gotten to a point where the government can prevent private citizens from helping their fellow man.
It's illegal to feed the homeless.
It's insane.
It's not illegal to steal like $980 worth of shit from a store.
I just don't know
what you do about it. I don't know what you...
Like, I know.
I don't know how you get here. Like, it's wild that... I mean, it's brainwashing. It's brainwashing on a mass scale. I mean, we're led to believe. I had this conversation the other day. People talking about, it's like, oh, well, inflation's good, though, a little bit. Because, you know, if they spend the money, then that other person's going to go spend it on this. And then they're going to have salaries and all this stuff. And all I could think is, like, have you ever really played that out in your mind? How stupid that excuse is, and like how embarrassed like a grown human being, an economist, should feel for saying that stupid. It's like you just described what money does. Like, it never doesn't do that. Like, if I pay you and then you go spend a thing and then they pay the salary, it's like, it never does. You just described what money does. It's always true. What you failed to recognize is the fact that money is usually used for trade, and then you are interrupting that and stealing, and then money continues to do what it does after you steal. That's the only difference in the situation. You haven't changed anything. You've just stolen from somebody else. You just valuable trade, valuable trade, valuable trade, counterfeit, valuable trade, valuable trade, valuable trade. Like, that, the counterfeit is the only addition. That's the only change to the whole situation, is that you just cheated in the middle of a situation that was actually working. No, inflation doesn't help anybody in any way, shape, or form, ever. For the same way that, for the same reason that burning down some of your house isn't helpful, and burning down a lot of your house is harmful. You don't want to burn down a house. That's the opposite point of a house existing. Just, it's brainwashing. Well, it's brainwashing. It's because they've got an education system that teaches us to just, they teach us that we are them, which is f***ing bonkers. It's so dumb. To like weird the state. Like I had somebody, like the stuff about like the voting for Trump. I posted, it's amazing. It's amazing how many people like are so wrapped up in the political thing that they're just as mad if with the suggestion of voting as they are with the suggestion of not voting. And it's like, but dude, literally it doesn't matter. Like if you believe that voting doesn't matter, it's literally inconsequential either way. But right. So I posted about the Ross Ulbricht thing, and I said, this is the only actionable or reasonable thing to care about. I can't remember exactly how I worded it, but basically the idea was literally nothing else matters. All the other policies are nonsense. You can't rely on anything. The state is going to grow. Like this was the idea of the post. Like it's all completely meaningless. Yet, if there is a chance that Trump frees Ross Ulbricht, that is actually a direct, actionable, could actually result in something good for one single person thing. And if you were thinking about voting, this would be the only thing to consider. There should be nothing else on the table. It's just whether or not that's worth it. And your vote probably doesn't matter because there's going to be a million buffer of theft or fraud or whatever in the vote count. But regardless, if you want to, that's what you should consider. And then the number of people like, you support murder overseas. It's like, what the fuck? Like, holy Jesus.
How did you get that, like, from what I just said? Like, did I say that anywhere? I just said
literally none of that other stuff matters because there's no way to make a difference. The state is going to grow, period, end of story. But it was just as part funny, part exasperation of just the number of people who are like, I can't believe you fell for all this. And we're like, fell for what?
Did you read, do we need to have a reading comprehension test? No, because I'm at that same point.
I made it too short. I needed like a caveat. It's like, understand, I'm saying literally nothing else is going to make a difference, but everybody will just interpret it the way they want to anyway.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, that's basically where I'm at too. Like there was no way I was going to vote for Kamala. I was maybe going to vote for RFK Jr.
I would have registered again and probably voted for RFK.
Yeah, that's where I was at. But now it's like, okay, that's, you know, he's going to be on the ballot in a couple states, but like not really, like, you know, so it's like, okay, well, if I do vote, and I live in Illinois, so like my vote really doesn't matter. Like, you know, it's basically like voting in California. It's like, okay, like I'll just drop a drop of water into the ocean here and see if it changes color. It won't. But freeing Ross is to me like, I truly hope that Trump does that on day one. Like he's said it.
It's
enough
like if there's
times
a 1% chance.
Yeah, like that's worth it, right? That's worth it. But I'll say the same thing. Like it's so funny. People are like, they're still, even people who think that they are like awake, you know, like not woke, but like awake.
Yeah.
But you say stuff that's like heaven forbid I criticize something Trump says, because people are like, well, I guess you're a communist Kamala supporter then. And I'm like, what?
No, I hate them both. No. They're both stupid.
And that same thing, if I say lunatics. Something about Kamala, it's like, oh, well, I guess you're just another, you know, another Trumper then. I'm like, no. I mean, heaven forbid we have the ability to figure out that somebody can be critical of both parties and talk about both of them, because like, you should, even if you plan on voting for one, you should be critical of them. You should, if you like somebody, you should be especially critical so that you can make sure that you are checking your own preconceived biases. Like that, I am more critical of the people that I like, like gravitating toward, because I'm like, what blind spot do I have that maybe I'm missing?
Yeah.
The people that I just am like, you're a moron. It's like, okay, maybe I've got a blind spot there. Maybe they're not a, you know, complete moron, but probably are. But like, I don't know. It's all just so stupid. Like, it's all just so stupid. And then you see this and it's like, man, we are,
it's
just
like, nobody's going to fix FEMA.
Neither
one of them is going to fix that shit. And that's actually something that matters. It's actually something that's like on the ground matters all the time. Like every couple of months, it matters.
Yep.
And that's not going to get fixed. Trump's not going to fix that. Kamala's not going to fix that. Nobody's going to fix that. It's going to be a mess. It's a giant bureaucratic racket. And it's going to stay that way. You know, like going to, I still argue, it's really just about Ross. Whether or not I want to vote. And I feel like North Carolina will go Trump anyway. So like, would that even matter? My vote obviously doesn't matter in the grand scheme, but it's like kind of like a, it's more of a, like a declaration of like, I'm a one issue voter, you know? So
yeah,
just do that. The only quote unquote vote that I think makes any kind of measurable difference is like sheriff, you know? Like your sheriff and like that sort of thing. I've been really, really meaning to be more locally focused and locally involved, because you can actually have like a direct effect in your area. But on Trump, like it's one of those things, like, just like you said, everybody has such horrible blinders on that if you like say one good thing about him, you're simping for Trump or Kamala.
Yep.
And if you criticize them, you're simping for the other one. It's like, no, I'm literally just criticizing someone. I didn't even bring up the other person. What the fuck are you talking about? You know, like, yeah. Like it's like just the number of times that you could just think that if you had like this weird, like false dichotomy in your mind, it's just like, you're just like, man, I hate orange. It's like, you're a purple lover. You know, it's like, what? What are you talking? What? Where purple wasn't even in this conversation. Where did you come from?
Oh my God. No, but, it's
On the Trump, just because I brought it up from the stupid post, is he's horrible. He's horrible on taxes and tariffs. He is horrible on, he still to this day is so, so blind to what his base is and to what the state of how people think about things that he still will bring up the vaccine and brag about it.
Oh, it's
like
nuts.
Like he did something good and he brags about what he did with 2020. He is the one who put Fauci in his position, who got him at the center of all of this crap. He is the one, like he failed on so many different things that he at least didn't start any wars, but he's
at least
not,
there's that.
If there's a difference between, you know, like slapping a little bit of paint on something and like dumping a bucket of paint, like he's kind of the slap some paint on it when it comes to the war position, probably. But it's still more paint, probably. I could give you a list of like 100 things that are just like, this sucks. This was ridiculous. This was such a terrible decision. This was a total failure. He basically bought into a bunch of the narratives against him to look good, to like save face. The stupid thumbs up thing just did it.
Another one of those things that, like, just back to inflation that like grinds my gears is when Trump will be like, we had no inflation during my time.
We had
in
no
office.
Inflation.
No inflation, zero. It
and
was
the
all
inflation
Biden,
was,
Biden
it was
inflation.
It was good inflation. Good inflation.
I'm like, mother. Like, we can all look at the money supply. Like, it skyrocketed during it. And, like, yes, there was an alleged global pandemic during that time. So that's the other thing. Whenever I call that out and I'm like, actually, there was inflation during Trump. There was monetary inflation, which tends to affect price inflation with a lag, which is exactly what you saw happen. And that doesn't mean I'm saying Biden also didn't, like, have policies.
Look at the line. Look at the line and see, like, if you can point out where either one of those exists. You can't. It's just a straight up line, man. Like, quit pretending that any of those make a difference on that ticket. Like, it's inflation everywhere you get. All you get are cycles. You get credit cycles in the gradual increase of the price of everything.
For anyone, and thanks, folks, for joining into this impromptu the state zap stream here with Guy and I. Guy, I'm gonna.
This is my first zap.stream, I think.
Dude, we cherry popped today. All right, I did my first one literally like 2 days ago, and now I've done one each day since. So I guess I'm addicted now. So this, if you look at this graph, okay, so let's go. Okay, first of all, max. It's like this is really what
put
matters.
That on a log chart.
Yeah. I think I can. Hold on. Let's see. Format.
Solid left, right. Log scale. Apply.
Wait, where do you see it?
I'm third blind. One down. Just above the line. Go. All the way to the right, I think. Yep.
There we go.
See?
So
none of that shit makes a difference.
Like,
none of that shit. Oh, there's a blip. Oh, there's a blip somewhere.
Like, this is just insane. And it's like, here's during Trump, and it went up like $6 trillion in that period. And then we went, thank you, Joe Biden,
just
not
back
that you
to
had
the
anything
mean.
To do with it, for going down a little bit. And then we're just going
to
go right
to
back
the mean.
Up. And it's just going to keep going up and up forever. And the compound annual growth rate of this M2 money supply is like 6.9 to 7% annually, which is nuts. Like, that's
also important to remember that during that quote-unquote so-called dip, they changed how they calculate this.
Yes, they did.
They changed the definition.
They changed M1 calculation during COVID, but they changed the M2, or they started reporting M2 less often.
It's M2, you see the parenthesis right there, M2 SL.
Yeah,
yeah. M2 was not, it's the SL, whatever that is. It's a new metric. It's changed a little bit. I can't remember exactly what the details are. I spent 30 minutes before I was like, this is a waste of fucking time.
They did something with, they added, or like they took out save, I forget, they like they added savings to M1 and then they took something out of M2. I also spent a little bit of time looking at it, and then I was like, well, money number go up, you know. But it's just like this kind of thing again, just if you want to just get at the futility of voting. And for people that give me crap for like the there is no red, there is no blue, there is the state and there is you, I think it's important to clarify on that. To what you were saying about local elections, those actually do matter. What happens at your local level and even your state level matters quite a bit more.
Yeah.
But what color the figurehead of our country is does not really make that much of a difference in your day-to-day life.
They don't really run it. It runs itself.
Like, who your sheriff is, though, who like your local city council, like that can actually make a difference in your day-to-day life.
Because they can tell FEMA to get the hell out of the way.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
But that,
or they can say, we're not
going to
do COVID mandate, or we're not going to do mask mandates in our town, or we're not going to shut down restaurants. Like, you. Like, it makes a difference.
And when it comes to like the local stuff, like, or just thinking about like the president, is that it's so funny how we so desperately want to personify everything that we forget that this is all just about the system. You know, like Apple, something happens with employees at Apple or Twitter or something. And Twitter had like 40,000 employees. And My framing is, it was always, Jack Dorsey did this. Look what Jack Dorsey did. Look at this, this, this. And all I could think was, I tried to wrap my head around what the hell 40,000 employees meant. And, you know, I work with like four or five people on my team, and which is difficult. That is difficult to work with multiple people just on any project. I mean, Jesus, three person group projects in high school were a nightmare. I realized, I was thinking about it. My hometown had a population of 10,000 people. And I was just driving through my hometown while I was musing on this thought. And I was just looking around as like, You know, I have no idea what's inside that house. Like, there could literally be, like, a Satanist cult that meets at that one house every single day. There could be a basement under there with all kinds of cool old stuff. There could be some kind of, like, crazy... Like, that dude right there probably owns a gun from the Civil War that hasn't been touched and nobody even knows. Like, the amount, the sheer scope of things that can happen and exist among 10,000 people... I have no idea what goes on in my hometown. Like, no clue. And it's my hometown.
Yeah.
You know? I've lived there for a huge portion of my life. I have no idea what's going on. That is 9,910 people that I know nothing about, and 50 people I know a little bit about, and who probably have a huge pile of secrets that I don't know, and like 5 people I know really, really, really well. A company with 40,000 people, that dude doesn't know what's going on. He's just taking the blame.
Yeah.
They don't have the slightest clue. That thing runs by itself. A government that has 40,000 agencies with tens of thousands of people in every one of them. There's no president that could even name a list of 20, like off the top of their head, before it probably takes them 10 seconds. And then they're getting blamed for housing crisis emergency aid agency did this awful corrupt thing and wasted $1 billion. And it's like, president did this. Dude, yeah. President is clueless. Housing recovery aid corrupt agency runs by itself. These things run by themselves. The FEMA racket with Walmart or whoever their preferred buyer is going to work, is going to keep working. Like, that's still going to keep running. But who's even heard of Biden, heard from Biden in a while? We don't even have a president. The thing is a giant system that runs on a combination of theft and fraud. The system doesn't need people to direct it. It wants to direct itself. You don't need to tell a thief where to steal from. If you give the thief the option of stealing, they're just going to go do it. That's what the system is. And it doesn't matter who's in charge. Like, the only thing... The best possible chance is Amelier sort of character who just comes in and just starts deleting, just whacking off the tree, you know? And because you can't assess, you can't restructure, you can't fix internally. It's literally just about stealing less. And you just have to shut shit down. It's crazy. You know, people hate like a bundled cable company. They're like, ugh, I hate that I gotta bundle it with my phone and my TV. It's like I only want to watch 5 channels, but I gotta buy 100. And then they're like, oh, government's great, who would build the roads? And I'm like, motherfucker, they just bundled your healthcare, your insurance, your employment, your food stamps, they just bundled like a fifth of everything that half, actually, it's like 50 to 60 cent on every dollar goes through the bureaucratic system. Just in like the first round, not to mention the subsidies and the kickbacks and the rebuys that are actually based on debt that doesn't make any fucking sense, that some corporate debt got a 1% loan that went into some VC shit that got refunded back into the corporate world and bloated the prices of all the assets so that nobody actually owns anything and everybody owes it all back to the bank, and nobody even knows why. I guess the reason we've been gutted of our ownership, we rent the nation from the counterfeiters. We rent everything. We don't own any of it. The average person goes through their lives never having owned shit except for like a TV that's worth half price the second it gets home. They die not even owning their houses. That shit doesn't have a leader. That shit is a system. It's a cancer that runs by itself. It is literal. We are a giant organism. Nothing works without trade. Like, we cannot, poverty is the state of existence. That is the normal state of existence, is absolute poverty. Prosperity happens because you have good money and you have a community that trades. Government is the opposite of that. It is literally cancer. The fiat system is cancer. We have cancer. And you cannot fix cancer. You cannot, like, just get radiation every week. You have to cut it out. That's the only thing you can do. And if you don't cut it out, cancer doesn't need a leader. Cancer runs by itself. It is literally the cancer of society. We have cancer, and we have to live with it.
Fucking amen. It's dark, but it's true. The question becomes, like, you know, we talk about Bitcoin fixes this a lot, but it's like, it's almost like this host that we're in, because it is so fiat cancer ridden, is like this one, like it's metastasized everywhere. Like it's in everything. Like you can't even cut it out anymore, because it is literally has gone through every single part of this host. And it's like, this is where I get
it's
back to
blood,
like,
cancer.
Yeah. Right. It's just, yeah, it's flowing through everything. It is just absolutely, it is inseparable from the system. And so then it's like, is the only option just to build in parallel? Like, is the only way to kill that cancer just to starve the host, basically, while we are building a new host alongside, a stronger host, a host built that is completely resistant to that form of cancer? Because, you know, Bitcoin can't get the inflation cancer that is fiat, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, is that the only way? Is the only way to have that parallel system? And yeah, we have to do some parts of our life in the existing cancer-ridden system, and that sucks. And a lot of people aren't going to make it out of that system either, and that sucks. But, like, we have to save ourselves before we can begin saving anyone else, right?
And you know, it's like, put your mask on first.
Bingo.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, yeah, probably. Have you ever read and or heard of, I think it was somebody on Noster who recommended this. I get mentioned in a bunch of book threads. Who knew?
Yeah, shocking.
but I'm listening to right now The Global Brain by, let me see if I can
Global Brain. I don't think I've heard of this.
One hit search. Go search this.
Yeah, Peter Russell. Does that sound right?
Evolution of Mass Mind, The Awakening. No, I think that one's
Speculations Howard on the Bloom. Evolutionary. Howard Bloom.
Global Brain. The Evolution of Mass Mind from the Big Bang to the 21st Century by Howard Bloom. Yeah, it was the third one down. it is really good. Yeah. It's basically, it's humbling. It's humbling because it makes you aware that our social systems are not unique, and that how we interact and how we judge decisions and shifts in things are not isolated to our social sphere. These things actually exist down at the bacterial level, and that there are things that go on inside of bacterial colonies, fungal colonies, all sorts of, like, cellular systems. And, like, I once saw a quote unquote, like, cut in half cell. And it was a, what do you call them? The magnified, just like hyper magnified. Oh, yeah. I can't remember the name of the machine that specifically refers to the level that they can see it at. And it just took the highest definition, most detailed, broadest image possible of the cell. And it was a single cell. And, you know, you look in a like a you know eighth grade science book, and a cell has like four parts, right? This was the most elaborate, complex thing I had ever seen in my life. It looked like a like you sliced through the middle of a forest, and you were just looking at this infinite complexity. And I was just thinking, we have no clue what goes on there. Like, we don't have the slightest clue what that thing does. We have stupid abstractions. Like a map that says, here's a river, here's a hill, and here's a road. That has no idea what's going on with the grass, what kind of soil's there. Like, the infinite complexity between those three things, and we put, you know, three things on the map. And it's the same thing we do everywhere. We make these extremely naive connections between, like, what's your cholesterol level? Therefore, here's the endless number of things that this means and that what's going on in your body. It's like, dude, you don't know anything. You know absolutely nothing. And then they intervene, and then everything goes sideways. Nothing works out like they thought. I can't tell you how many times, you know, we have this bizarre culture of intervene with everything, and I think it just comes from an overwhelming arrogance that we can deduce, we can break down all of this infinite complexity into, like, left and right, black and white. It's just this or that. Oh, you have it. We're just going to focus on this one metric. There are literally a million other unfactored, like, we don't even know, like, just in the last, like, 10, 15 years, we're realizing how much gut biome controls us.
Yeah.
And it's not even been part of the discussion. Not even been part of the discussion. And there is a hierarchy of complexity just in your gut biome. Like, the reason that your body craves stuff when you stop eating it is because the bacteria releases chemicals that force you to crave it. It's literally controlling your cravings so that it can survive. And then it makes you sick when the bacteria dies, because the dying of the bacteria so hyper-exaggerates that it encourages you to go eat that thing one more time so that the colony can survive. That's bonkers. And that's not even been part of the discussion.
No.
Until very, very recently. We have no idea what is going on. There is so much complexity, and we so arrogantly believe we can control it all. And it leads us to intervene at a massive scale, and it just takes one problem and turns it into two. And we do it over and over and over again. The Global Brain book is fascinating, because it shows that there are even generational shifts. It basically, it doesn't really explain it, because it can't explain it. It only states what we know about why it is that simple genetic and reproductive evolution doesn't explain everything. And seriously doesn't explain the Cambrian explosion. But like a great example is, and that so many different cellular systems, bacterial systems, just organisms, life in general, just does so much communication that we don't recognize. And our electronic networks are just a single abstraction of something that we've been doing since bacteria. like at every single level, you can see these kind of social behaviors. You can even see the behaviors and kind of this like weird suicidal habit or trend of things breaking off by themselves to go die when they become unhealthy for the group. And it's not even because of like some, let me sustain my genes. It's literally because the system itself is designed to react to the way things behave. There was just the last chapter, he had like a really fascinating conversation about bees and how like the bees that come back with the most energy, and when everybody still ignores them, when they're like, no, there's like great food in this direction. Like you can watch the hive respond to him saying, guys, no, seriously, you should go this way. And they actually, like, the way that they vibrate actually tells them which direction that the food is in. And then literally the one that persists the longest, like they will straight up ignore them like a weird social system. He's like, ah, he's a weirdo. Don't listen to him. And then he just like, no, I'm fucking telling you. It's over here, motherfuckers. It is. I swear to God. And the fact that he persists and keeps telling them the truth about where it is will slowly convince and spread out that message through the entire hive until they go and find it. And then it changes the hierarchy of the social system inside the hive. And that this exists at so many different layers and like all the way down to a cellular level, these sorts of conversations are happening. And it makes it, it puts everything in a very different perspective when you start seeing communication breakdown, because that's what I think we have is we, fiat is a failure of communication. Fiat is an extension of a system that was doing a great job at the ability to communicate economic value, the weight of the things that cost in our lives and our relationship to them and our relationship to each other in respect to them. Like, what does an orange mean to me versus what does an apple mean to you? That's an impossible problem without a communication mechanism that can carry the weight from one person to the next person. And it requires free trade, and it requires a record-keeping system that cannot be cheated, so that trade is the only thing, voluntary trade, where someone literally says, I give up my apple to get the orange. That weight is actually carried from thing to thing through this this medium, just like resources are carried with blood through a organism. And literally, we have blood cancer. Our thing to transmit that weight is leaking. And it is not working. And it is feeding this system that's just consuming apples and oranges as fast as it can go. And we have no way to regulate how much it is eating us. And it's so crazy to see it from the perspective of, like, you can see this behavior in bacteria. Like, it is literally a disease. And the only solution is to fix the system. And that's why with, you know, going back to the voting thing, is why it doesn't matter. You can't vote for blood cancer to be better. You have to build a parallel system. And it's also why I specifically brought up that Ross Ulbricht is the only reason to even consider participating in it. Because maybe one cell deserves to not die. You know what I mean?
Amen.
But you have to fix this. You have to fix the communication layer. You have to fix what is going on. That's why I could never justify exerting too much energy in the political realm, even if it's my anger, even if it makes me so angry. But I try not to, because it is a lost cause. You know, maybe there's something to the fact that, you know, white blood cells, and this is something that we didn't even know for a long time, is that cancer cells actually pop up all the time. Have you heard this?
Yeah.
Read a pretty incredible details. I actually pulled from like a number of different studies and research groups. But basically this wild thing that, like, you actually get cancer all the time, but your immune system stops it. Like, white blood cells are shutting it down all the time. And it's why specifically that if you heal yourself, it's why so many people, there are just stories on top of stories of people changing their diet and cancer going away. There was a documentary with a person who, they said this was their wake up moment with the medical system in this country, is they got diagnosed with like stage 4 pancreas cancer. And it was just a, they were told in not so uncertain terms to, you should be as comfortable as you would like. And they said, no, I'm not just rolling over on this. Like, there has to be a second opinion. And so they went looking for stuff, and they basically went carnivore. They ended up just finding all of this. They did a whole bunch of crazy stuff, but I highly suspect that it was really about the diet. They cleaned up so much just disgusting crap that they were eating. Like, they just realized, like, none of this is even food. What have I been doing to myself? And they went, like, crazy, crazy clean, crazy just real food on the plate. And went back. They were given, like, a couple of months. And they went back, like, 6 months for a checkup. And the cancer was, like, the tumor was, like, 30% smaller. And it was not metastasized anymore. And the doctors were just like, oh, well, okay, whatever. And he was like, do you not want to know what I did? Are you not interested? How does this not spark the slightest curiosity? You told me I was going to die and there was nothing we could do. This doesn't shock you a little bit? And they were just like, well, you should just go now. You can do whatever you want.
Yeah, crazy things.
So you're not going to investigate this.
Yeah,
we're not going to divert some of the $100 million this year that you got donated to cure cancer. You're not going to divert a little bit of that to just asking what I've been doing for the last 6 months. And they're just like, I could not believe that nobody was interested. Nobody cared because I just didn't do what they said I should have done. And incentives. Incentives everywhere, man.
A slight backtrack, but you know, when you were talking about the bees, and that, you know, those the scavenger, you know, worker bees coming back in and needing to vibrate the most, like at the highest frequency in order to get the attention of others. Because they had really incredible information, right? They had information about where people were going to get the most food. Mm-hmm. It reminds me of Bitcoiners in a way. It's like we're trying to tell people.
I'm not going to shut up. I swear to God, it fixes it.
We've got the truth. Like, we've got this abundant resource or this scarce money, but that leads to abundance over here. We're trying to tell people about it. We're trying to, like, we won't shut up about it. But it's like, people have to be ready to listen, and you have to vibrate at a higher frequency than all the other distractions that just inundate them.
Yeah.
And on the cancer side, have you seen the stuff with like ivermectin, like completely changing people's cancer prognosis? That's like a rabbit hole I just started going down.
It's another rabbit hole, and it's funny is that it's amazing how many, when you start going down a lot of these rabbit holes, how many of these actually have like a cohesive thread underneath them that connect so many of these different things. Ivermectin is one of the most powerful antiparasitics we have. It goes back to the whole gut biome thing, which suggests that the breakdown of our ability of our immune system to fight cancer and the presence of cancer in the metabolic destruction of cellular function could very well be. Not only is it, again, this is why diet seems, there's so much anecdotal evidence that diet has a massive, massive effect on this, is because it's feeding bacterial colonies and parasitic systems in our body that we have been permanently, that have been permanently in our bodies, and ivermectin clears it out. There have been wild stories of people's whole demeanor, like things like literally changing because they took ivermectin for a week. And I literally think it's because it's killing something that has had an enormous effect on their chemical imbalances and hormonal imbalances in their body, because it's literally like we look at these things of like, you know, this fungus or this bacteria growing inside of this animal that like, you know, forces an ant to go up to the top of a thing and like reach up. And then it literally causes a bird or another animal to come down and eat it, which then it grows in the poop of that animal and it falls again. And then it persists in this bizarre system of manipulating everybody's behavior. And that is literally its ecosystem. And it's like, oh, well, that could never happen to us. It's like, bitch, have you ever been hangry? You know, like, tell me you've never been hangry. Like, absolutely it could do that to us. Our chemicals do so much. I was in a bad mood yesterday, and I was an asshole to people on Noster. You know, like, It 1,000% controls us. It 1,000% manipulates us. The question is whether you believe there are things that affect those chemical imbalances. And I believe there is no chemical balance in any organism anywhere that doesn't have something affected by it.
Yeah.
I don't. Not only do I not think that there's a discussion to be had, it's like one of those things like, are there aliens? It's like, there's going to be life out there. Like, whatever it is, it's just the scope of it. Like, I think it's a question of whether or not we can see it. So it's a negative as the truth or as the default rather than the positive. I think everything that we do, like if you eat something, it affects our chemical imbalance. It has bacteria in it. That's going to matter. It's a question of, do we understand it? And we don't. Going back to cutting a cell in half and looking at the infinite complexity in it, we have no idea. We have no idea. And if we ever pinpoint one thing that appears to have this effect, it's still not even going to be a ghost of a half of a hundredth of a 1% of the whole story that's happening. It's just going to be kind of like one tiny dot or one little puzzle piece that we have connected together. And every single time we learn or understand how to gather or see one new piece of information, 10 new truths that we cannot understand are suddenly possible to obtain. In other words, what I mean by that is that when our technology expands our ability to see, the complexity that we then can see expands at an exponential rate. So we will always and forever only know a tiny portion of everything. And the more we know, the smaller the portion we understand of everything. It will grow in complexity at an infinite scale as we get infinitely better at understanding it. Because every new layer comes with its own infinite, its own exponential multiple of complexity. I truly believe that. I believe that the smarter we get, the dumber we are in the scope of the entire thing.
In a relative sense, yeah. Basically. Yeah. No, I agree. And, you know, this is all just because I want to be conscious of your time, and I've got a hard stop here in a couple of minutes too. But yeah. I want to bring this.
I have a hard stop at 5 minutes before we started this.
Yes. Hey, I'm glad we did this, man. I don't know about you, but I need.
I ain't caught up in a while. Are you going to Lugano?
I'm not. We can't go this year. We're going to go to the Plan B forum though that they're doing in El Salvador in January.
Okay.
So we'll be
there. I'll be there. We're missing
one Plan B, making it to another one.
Okay. Yeah.
I know. I want to go back to Lugano. That's a
participation award.
Yeah. No, but what I was going to say is like. All of this, like we started with the state and then started talking about like the complexity of the human body and also the inability of many doctors who are even experts in this area to be able to actually assess and treat the problems in this system, right? And then you think about doctors, you compare them as analogous to economists, right? In mm-hmm. an economy. And the economy is this body that like leave it alone and give it wholesome inputs and it has good outputs.
Yeah.
Like, but
it works by itself.
Yeah. You don't have to f with it.
And you like, don't have to tell life how to do stuff.
No, it just does.
Life literally works. Life is the manifestation of the system of sustainability that exists naturally in the universe. You do not have to control it. You do not have to control it. In fact, as soon as you try to control it, all you do is manifest the one thing about life that wants to kill itself.
Yeah.
It's arrogance. It's arrogance to think that it can do that. We can do it better than nature can. What you have to do is just get the pieces, like good inputs,
yeah.
Good inputs. Just stop manipulating stuff. Yeah. It's all about communication.
Get the fuck out of the way, right?
Get out of the hotel.
Yeah, back to our starting point. Get like, hey, state, like, just stand the f- back and like, let good people who are putting in good inputs try to do what they want to do, which is help other people. And man, I'm glad we got a chance to rant a little bit. I need heart rate has come down a little bit. Yeah. You know, I'm settling back in. But all right, guy, let's make this a thing. Whenever either one of us gets real, real pissed off, just on Zap.stream though, YouTube doesn't get this. X doesn't get this. No. Just us here. But man, this was, I needed this. I'm glad we did this.
Yeah,
let's do it again sometime.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, man. I'm going to cut this stream now. Thanks to everybody who joined. We appreciate you guys. Hopefully you enjoyed the rants and feel a little bit better now, too.
That was the best podcast you've ever heard in your life. And you know it. You just need to admit it to yourself at this point that guys' rants have a special place in your heart. And because I mentioned this in third person, I'm still being humble. That's how that works. I'm pretty sure. But yeah, I hope you guys enjoyed that one. That was a bit of got my blood boiling. In fact, I just did a show with Marty Bent, basically on the same thing, and my blood got boiling then too. It's been a mess, but I want to say thank you to everybody who has helped out. Thank you to everybody who supports the show. Thank you to everybody who has donated. It has been crazy. Usually I see it from a distance, and it was... I feel like I should have been able to do more. I'm glad I was at least able to kind of participate. But so many people have stepped up and done so much. It's wild. And I'm trying to be a good steward of the sats and send them to where they need to go. Just for an update on that, actually, I've sent $10,000 to the Bitcoin veterans, and guys, support the Bitcoin veterans. These guys are literally on the ground. Like, they're basically my main source of information out of there for people that I can talk to and that I trust. Good friends with Shane, Gary, like these guys, hugely, hugely thankful for the amount of time and energy that they are putting into this. I sent $2,500 to the Cajun Navy. I hit a limit while I was moving fiat, and I'll be sending $2,500 to the Henderson Rescue probably later today. And then I think also, depending on, I might just be able to dump it all from, I think River will let me get it all into a fiat account. And I want to send to Mercury One, which I've heard very, very good things about. And I also want to make sure Samaritan's Purse, which Bitcoin veterans have been working with to kind of set up base of operations and work out of, they've been a great resource, and I've heard nothing but good things directly from a lot of people who are in the area. So that will definitely be one. They'll be getting some funds probably today or tomorrow. It just depends on how long it takes to convert to fiat and get the payment sent. But that's the loose update. If you want to get more info, I'm trying to update on the Keat page. I have a broadcast page for the NC recovery efforts, and we've been trying to keep updates, and I've got a couple other people in there who are just sharing things as they come in. So yeah, that's all just to say, if you're looking for any more updates, check out the Keat room. The link, the key to get to that room, will be right in the show notes. And if you want to support, that would be amazing. And that's whether or not it's the show or Bitcoin veterans, or you want to donate to me, which a lot of it might still just go to Bitcoin veterans because they're awesome. But regardless, however you want to send the sats, I'll make sure that they get to where they need to go as well. And also know that you do not have to, if you're in a tight spot, you do not have to monetarily assist. Something that you can do that's a huge help for those guys, for me, for the whole effort, is to just share it out and let other people know what's going on. And I also give a shout out, just because, you know, this show costs a lot to run. We got working with a number of people now. If you're interested in sponsoring the podcast or partnering with us, and you have a good Bitcoin-only project or service or something that you want to get out there, let me know. You can hit us up at partners@bitcoinaudible.com. That's the email address. Wyatt has been speaking with people, and, you know, I've brought him on. He's been, holy wow, that guy is a lord. Between him and my producer, Johnny, their organization skills make me look like a total moron. My world looks so much more chaotic than I realized it truly was before I started working with those guys. So a shout out to them for the incredible help they have been for this little enterprise of the Guy Swan Network, whatever we call it. Thank you, guys. Thank you. Seriously, it's been It's been a lot. Been kind of stressed the last couple weeks. But knowing how many people are helping has just been really cool. It's been really cool. So thank you, and I'll catch you on the next episode of Bitcoin Audible. Until then, everybody, take it easy, guys.